The Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. We've all experienced it in some way, I'm sure. A hired hand, a worker, an employee, a volunteer who is, shall we say, a little less than engaged. Who's there just for the paycheck or the volunteer hours, who when presented with a challenge takes actions that are the minimum that they can get away with or just give up entirely. Why? Well, they have no investment beyond their jobs. These are the hired hands that Jesus talks about in our text today. These are the ones who do not own the sheep. And so, when danger approaches the wolf, they run away. Because the sheep are not theirs. They have no investment of self in them. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. When danger comes, I lay down my very life for the sheep. I know these sheep who are mine. I know them intimately. I know them personally. And they know me. They've experienced my loving care for them. Jesus, God's self-expression to us, is our good shepherd. And we recognize this truth because followers of the one true God have experienced the love and care of this shepherd throughout time. You see this image of God as the good shepherd throughout Scripture, but perhaps no place as well known as Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It is the Lord who is our good shepherd, not anyone or anything else. This is first commandment stuff here. You shall have no other gods before me. As Martin Luther says in his explanation of the first commandment, we are to fear, love, and trust God alone. How freeing that is. To say to all those who would take on the mantle of shepherd, who would claim priority for caring for us, protecting us, providing us for us, no, the Lord is my shepherd, you are not. It is God alone who we stand in awe of, who we love with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, who loves us enough to send Jesus into the world not to condemn us, but save us. The Lord is our shepherd, not some politician or celebrity, not some political party or religious leader. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. God provides enough for everyone, for their physical needs. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Martin Luther, in his explanation of this first article of the Creed, reminds us that God has created me together with all that exists, and God daily and abundantly provides shoes and clothing, food and drink, house and farm, spouse and all property, along with all the necessities and nourishment for this body and life. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And again, Luther reminds us that God gives daily bread without prayer, even to all evil people. And that daily bread is everything included in the necessities and nourishment of our bodies. We see this promise made and fulfilled again and again in Scripture. In the wilderness, God provides the Israelites' daily bread, manna and quail, enough for everyone to eat and be filled. Jesus feeds the 5,000 and all eat and were filled, and there are leftovers. There's abundance in this world that God has created and made fertile so that all can have enough. So why are some in want? Why do some not have enough for the necessities and nourishment of their bodies? Well, it's the distribution system that runs through us that is the problem. We don't share, so everyone has enough. And that lack of sharing is a matter of faith. Faith, trusting God above all other things. Faith is the trust that God does indeed provide enough, that what we are given belongs to God first, and we are just stewards of it for a time. Faith is living with an open and generous hand, knowing that sometimes we are the means by which God provides daily bread for someone else, that God provides them enough. And also faith that when we are in want, God will provide. The same good shepherd and Lord who provides abundantly cares not just for the body, I will not be in want, but also for the soul. The Lord makes a place to lie down, green pastures, beside waters that are still. Not the churning chaos of the sea, the roaring white waters of rapids that are dangerous to the sheep, but gentle watering of a brook. Places that are life-giving. Why does God provide those places? To restore our souls, to revive them from sickness leading to death. The Good Shepherd who provides all we need for our bodies, who revives our souls, also leads us in righteous paths, paths that will lead to food and water, to restoration and resurrection, paths that will glorify the name and reputation of God through loving service to others. I remind our confirmands this always. We bear the very name of the risen Christ. We are Christians. And so the paths that we follow, the life we lead, the words we speak, the actions we take, either reflect well on who God is or they dishonor God. If we but follow the good shepherd, the path will be one of righteousness, honoring who God is. And even when we walk through the valley of death, where threats lie all around us, God is with us. We've walked through that valley these past 14 months in a way unknown by many of us. We are still not all the way through that valley yet. We walk through this valley whenever death touches us or comes near, when threats to our body and soul loom over us. And when we walk in this valley, God in Jesus Christ goes with us, because he has been down this road and back again. The shepherd protects us with the rod, guides us with the staff. The threat's still there, but the Lord's presence comforts. Because we walk these paths for the name of our Lord, we go into dark places because life takes us there, and because life takes other people there. And we are the church, the body of Christ in the world, and so we go there too. When people are walking through the dark valley of depression or loneliness, cancer and other diseases, death, both expected and sudden, we walk with people. A visible sign of the reality of God's presence with them. We guard them with the rod, advocating for them, sheltering them, protecting them. And we guide them with the staff, pointing to help, pointing to the way out, to God's constant care and mercy. The Good Shepherd prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Those who would rejoice in my downfall, when they are in front of you, God in this way chooses you. This is symbolized by the setting of a table. This had implications for hospitality in that day. When you fed someone at your table, it meant you took responsibility for them and their welfare while they were within your house, within the realm of your power. Anointing. You anoint my head with oil. Anointing is also a choosing. Normally it is reserved for kings and prophets, but you, my friends in Christ, are chosen as well at baptism and anointed with oil, marked indelibly with the sign of the cross on your forehead, the cross through which Christ has saved you and now claims you. Our cup runs over with abundance, an abundance of love, of grace, of nourishment for body and soul. And in this way, through this table and anointing and claiming and abundance, God thumbs God's nose at our enemies and says to them, you got to come through me first. And we, the church, do the same. For the oppressed, the poor, the neglected, the ones who have no voice, we set a table for them, both literally at this communion meal and through our sharing ministries that feed others, but also figuratively, accepting responsibility for their protection. And in doing so, we recognize the image of God that resides in them, that is there regardless of whether they act as if they bear that image or not, that is there even if we might be tempted to label them as something else, as thug, brute, racist, unworthy. We see them with the eyes God and Jesus Christ has for us as beloved. The Good Shepherd, filled with steadfast love and mercy, is the one who will chase you down all those other paths that you follow, the unrighteous ones. This Good Shepherd will go ahead of you and meet you even when you try and flee. Will go and find you whenever you go astray to whatever height or depth that you find yourself. This is just what the Good Shepherd does. Because Jesus is invested in you, knows you, loves you. You who are created in the image of God, you who are made part of the body through baptism. And because of the loving kindness and mercy of this God, by the anointing and claiming of God and Jesus Christ, and not because of anything we do, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so even when we are at death's door, the shepherd will be there in my Father's house. There are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And therefore we, the church, the people of God, are not a community of death, but a community of life. We are not a community of despair, but a community of hope. We are a people of the resurrection. And we proclaim a message of grace and hope to a world that seems to think that death has the final word. I'll go ahead and use the cliche. We are a hospital for sinners, not a club for saints. We are a place where the broken, the hungry, those without hope can come and be made whole, can eat their fill. We are a place where we proclaim the Good Shepherd, embody that loving kindness that says all can be forgiven and renewed. All can come and be inspired. We are a place where those who are afraid to speak can become witnesses to the life-giving Jesus. We are a place where the imperfect come and find their perfection in Christ Jesus. For there is no name under heaven by which, no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. And this is what it means to say, the Lord is my shepherd. It is to trust in God for everything in life, to give to others freely and joyfully. It is to live in the peace of Christ. It is to trust God even when enemies surround us, and to stand with others in the very same situation. It is to trust God in life and death, to be with those in the valley, and it is to proclaim a word of hope. Always. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for one another. How does God's love reside in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? For Friends in Christ, forgiven, claimed, loved by God, let us love in word and speech. Yes, but also in truth and action. For we are sheep of the Good Shepherd, claimed in love. And so as we are fed this day in both body and soul, let us then go and follow our shepherd on righteous paths to honor his name that we bear. And do so for the sake of this world that he so loves. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our hymn of the day.